I am reading this morning from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 13, as found in the Good News translation of the Bible. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to all for their particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. The Spirit gives one person a message full of wisdom, while to another person, the same Spirit gives a message full of knowledge. One and the same Spirit gives faith to one person, while to another person he gives the power to heal. The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles, to another the gift of speaking God's message, and to yet another the ability to tell the difference between gifts that come from the Spirit and those that do not. To one person he gives the ability to speak in strange tongues, and to another he gives the ability to explain what is said. But it is one and the same Spirit who does all this. As he wishes, he gives a different gift to each person. Christ is like a single body, which has many parts. It is still one body, even though it is made up of different parts. In the same way, all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit, and we have all been given the one Spirit to drink.
So today is, in fact, Pentecost. For Christians, Pentecost celebrates the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church. Pentecost is also celebrated as the birthday of the church, the day on which the disciples received such a startling new experience of the presence of God that they were empowered to become the Church of Jesus Christ, a community of new people with a message of good news for a tired and very hurting world. From the book of Acts, we are told, when the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky that sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. So the Holy Spirit came to that gathered community, touched them, filled them, provided new depths of understanding despite the barriers of language and culture. People began to understand things differently. They acted differently. The Holy Spirit, in fact, changed them. The disciples at Pentecost used the imagery of wind and fire to describe that powerful, moving, invisible, yet very real experience of God's Spirit among them. We think about our own experiences of wind, that welcomed, cooling breeze on a hot summer day, the force that lifts a kite high into the sky, that wind that fills those sails and sends you speeding across Georgian Bay, the wind that dries the clothes on the line and provides that smell like no other, the power that sways tall trees and hurls the snow and drives waves relentlessly onto the beach. It's a power and a force that we can't see. We can't see the wind, but we can certainly experience it. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit. We experience it. And just as we can see the full sails of a boat, and we can see the swaying trees and the swirling snow, we can often see what happens because of the Holy Spirit. the spiritual gifts that that Spirit touches each of us with. In the passage that Corinne read for us from 1 Corinthians, we are told that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts. And the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all. So we all have spiritual gifts. Every Sunday we come here and we receive the gift of music through Allison and the choir. And our children are receivers of the gifts of teaching in our Sunday school. And Reverend Chris and others share the gift of preaching, the gift of helping us to understand or see things a little differently and hopefully more clearly. We may not always recognize the gifts that we ourselves have. Others may have to help us identify them. And we might not always think of that piece of who we are as a person is really a spiritual gift. But in most often cases, they are. And we're meant to use them for the good of all. Most of you will have heard by now of my husband Jim's recent cardio event. And in reflecting on the scripture for today, I was more than just a little overwhelmed by the realization that from the moment we entered the emergency ward at St. Mary's Hospital that very scary night 6 weeks ago, we have in fact been carried through this entire experience by the spiritual gifts of everyone around us. And it goes far beyond the obvious power of a gift of healing. We discovered what an incredible sense of humor, a little twisted, but an incredible sense of humor the night nurses have as they kibitzed with Jim about what he wanted from the drive-thru at Kentucky Fried Chicken. Laughter in those very dark moments was the light that we needed. We were witness to levels of compassion that you simply cannot teach someone in any school. You're either gifted with it or you aren't. And so very, very many of the people we've encountered in the last 6 weeks do, in fact, have that gift. The gift of understanding continues to touch us, often coming from places we least expect it. The sharing of personal stories that continue to reassure us, it's going to be okay. Normal's different now, but it's going to be okay. And the flip side of that is the gift of knowing when not to share, because sometimes that's just as helpful. The cards, the emails, the calls, the visits, the listening, the sharing of tears, the hugs on Sunday mornings, all gifts of community shared with us, reminding us each and every day that we are not alone. In fact, Jim now has about 121 mothers and just about as many fathers, and I have more sisters than my mother could ever have given birth to. And it's an amazing feeling. All of this is a loving reminder that we are part of a community, that each and every one of us are an important part of the body of Christ. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the gifts that have been given to us by the Holy Spirit. We celebrate that each and every one of us has something to give, something that goes far beyond the restrictions of your bank account, something that truly is for the good of all. And today we'll celebrate with an agape meal. Agape is the Greek word for the self-giving love of God seen in God's love for this world. An agape meal was the love feast of the early Christians and was often celebrated daily, much like Thanksgiving. It was a simple meal, and it was a public banquet, but it wasn't limited to just family. Everyone was invited, the rich, the poor, the in-between. And in those days, there weren't a lot of in-betweens. You either had it or you didn't. But everyone was invited. So by ignoring all distinctions of economic and social status, they met and came together as one family. This act of unity and brotherly love was common to all Christians who chose to come, whether they were rich or poor. Those who could afford to brought enough food for everyone. It symbolized the community of goods. After the meal, portions were taken to the sick and the widowed, those who weren't able to join in the family feast. Another way of expressing Christian love for one another. The food was often prepared from home or at the meeting place, which was usually in a private residence. Someone would offer prayers of thanksgiving, and scriptures were often read, and then stories were shared around the table. After they had their fill, they would take up a collection for the less fortunate in the community. The concept of preparing and sharing food for all, of sharing fellowship and being in community, isn't exactly foreign to us here at St. James Rosemount. Every month, on the third Sunday of the month, we gather together as a community of faith to break bread together. We share stories with one another, pieces of our lives that we share with one another. People from all walks of life are welcome to come to our table, regardless of economic or social status. Those who can give, do. Those who can give a little extra, do. So that we can continue to offer that time of sharing and hospitality to everyone who wishes to come and sit at our table. That's an agape meal. We do it every month. Throughout the ages, food has often played a key role in living out not only the gift of hospitality, but the gifts of compassion and caring. How many of us, when hearing that someone is sick or that someone has lost a loved one and is grieving, how many of us go to the cupboard or the fridge or our freezer to see what we have that we can put together and take to share with someone who needs it? Something that will let that hurting person know that they're not alone. And how many of us here have actually been the receiver of those gifts of love? I would suggest several. Food and the self-giving love of God, an agape meal. Today, we call it the Love Feast. The Love Feast acknowledges our community, our sharing, our fellowship, and unity. And we do it through symbols. Sometimes we use bread and water. Today, we're using rice crackers and oranges, so everyone can share. The symbol itself isn't what's important. In an agape meal, when you're using symbols, you can use whatever you have. I could have come with glasses of milk and butter tarts. I didn't, Dave. I didn't. But I could have. And that would have been okay. Except for the people who aren't supposed to have butter tarts. And so this morning, as we share in these symbols, we focus on community. We focus on fellowship. And we focus on sharing. Grace and I will begin to distribute the baskets, and you're invited to take a cracker, take a couple if you want, a piece of orange, take a couple if you want, and then serve your neighbor. When the basket gets to the end of the pew, we ask that you simply turn around and serve the person behind you, and then the basket will flow to the end. Grace and I will make sure that we gather the baskets as the rows are finished. Once you have taken your cracker and oranges, we invite you to turn to someone close to you, preferably someone you didn't come to church with, and share one thing that you can think of that made you smile within the last 7 days. I am hoping that there isn't a person here that can't think of one thing that made them smile in the last 7 days. Take that piece of who you are today with that smile on your heart and share it with your neighbor. You can start that now while we get the baskets going.